this morning. And I want you to open them up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. How many know that now is the time? Amen. Somebody say, now is the time. Somebody say, it's my now year. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 54. I'm just so excited. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about the marriage retreat, the Valentine's marriage retreat. I'm excited for you that it's not too late. I think there's already 17 couples going, amen. So listen, don't miss out, amen. If you want to, if you have the opportunity, you want to definitely go. It's going to be a really special time with your spouse, amen. So I'm excited about what God is doing. God's been doing some powerful things within our ministry, amen. And so this morning, I want to take a moment and I want to just minister this time that we have here together. And if you want to title the message this morning, you're able to title it Third Wave Window. Third Wave Window. And I also want to talk about this morning the subject of success and determination. Success and determination. Isaiah 54, if you have it, say amen. The Bible reads like this. It says, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. I know that's one of our promised scriptures, amen, that God gave our ministry, that we would, that our descendants would inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And here in Isaiah 54, God is speaking to the people of Israel and who have been barren, they've not born, they've been barren. There hasn't been a lot of fruitfulness in their nation. But they're the people of God. I don't know if you ever felt like that. You're a child of God. You belong to God. But sometimes you feel like, why am I not seeing fruit in my life if I'm a child of God? Well, that's how the nation felt. But God told them clearly. He said, I want you to sing. I want you to sing because your children, you who are desolate, are going to be more of the children than of the married woman. You're going to have more children. Matter of fact, your children are going to be more numerable than the sand grains on the seashore. I'm going to bless you tremendously. It might not look like it right now, he says, but I want you to sing by faith because it's going to happen. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, this morning, we thank you for this time that we have together. Bless this time. God, minister to your people. God, bless the preaching of your word. And we thank you, Father. We pray that you would receive all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen and amen. You may be seated. And as you're seated, I want you to say third wave window. It goes on and it says this in Isaiah 54. It says, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. Turn me just a little down in the monitor, please, Reuben. Just a little bit, just a hair. So it says, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Do not spare, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. Amen. In other words, it's saying, don't hold back. Regardless of what your condition is, regardless of what your present situation might be, it's saying don't hold back. But not, as a matter of fact, not only don't hold back, but it's saying get yourself ready for a breakthrough. Get yourself ready for an increase. Get yourself ready because you're going to give birth to many, many, many descendants. And as a matter of fact, you're going to have more than the sand on the seashore. So it's saying make room. Get ready. You might not see it yet, but make preparation because I came to let you know that your end is going to be greater than your former. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap if you understand that. That's what he was telling the people of God here. You know, this morning, a third wave window. A window is this. It's an interval of time during which certain conditions or an opportunity exists. An interval of time during which certain conditions or an opportunity exists. Somebody say opportunity. It also means this. A window also means this. It means a means of entrance or access. In other words, when there's a window, it's a means of entrance. It's an opportunity for you to step into something. Come on, somebody. A window is an opportunity. It signifies an opportunity for you to step into something like a new chapter, a new blessing, amen, a new season within your life. And also, it's like an access. It's also an access for you to be able to receive. A window also enables you. When windows are open, they enable you to also receive something that comes from heaven, and it comes through that window into your life. Somebody say amen this morning. Success and determination, you know, when you think about it, I've been really thinking about that, you know, with Kobe Bryant going on to be with the Lord and, you know, going on, passing away, and you know, we pray that he's in heaven. We pray that he knew the Lord. We know that that morning he went to church, and so, you know, that's our hope and desire, that Kobe's in heaven, right? And also that God is with the families. But when you think about his life, the Black Mamba, amen, when you think about his life and what he represented, he represented success and determination, amen, success and determination, resiliency, amen, that you're able to achieve great things. But if you're able to be determined and put in the hard work to be able to get there. And that's one thing that his life signifies and it represents, right? And that's also one thing that it takes when it comes to answering, you know, the calling of God and saying yes to the promises of God and receiving what God has for your life. It takes not only to believe and to have faith, but it also takes stepping out in faith. It takes success and determination to be able to lay hold of those things that God has for your life. Amen? One thing that we definitely are able to see and to take from that tragedy that happened there with Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi and all those 9 people that lost their lives is that we definitely are able to understand this, that we only have a short time to live. We only have a short time to live, amen? That even if we live 80 years, the Bible says life is but a vapor. It's here today and it's gone, just like that. Even if you live 80 years, Moses said, it's still so brief and it's the brevity of life. And that's something that stands out to us when something like this takes place. I have one of my favorite quotes that I've heard recently from Kobe Bryant is this: everything negative, pressure, challenges is all an opportunity for me to rise. Somebody say amen to that. Everything negative, amen, whether it's pressure or challenges, it's all just an opportunity for me to rise. In other words, Kobe was saying, man, haters are going to hate. Come on, somebody. Talkers are going to talk. Amen. Get in line. Keep talking, right? Everybody, there's always going to be people talking negative, right? And what he was saying is this. He's saying, it's just more fuel to my fire. It's more fuel for me to go after and be determined and succeed in laying hold of that which God has for my life. Amen? He's saying everything negative. He's all the naysayers, all the negative people, all of the setbacks that I have experienced. It is all, I view those things not as a negative thing. I view those things as an opportunity for me to rise higher and come against it and begin to let it be fuel to the fire that allows me to lay hold of it. Somebody say determination. When it comes to third wave, and I'm talking about this morning about a third wave window, you have to understand third wave, we've been talking a lot about third wave in the last year. And third wave, you know, so there's a lot of questions, right? Like people sometimes they might not know. I have an understanding. I know what third wave is. I know what the third wave revival is. I know, I understand. It's what God is doing now. It is a revival during this time. And so I want to kind of just a little bit also explain, because you could be here today and you could be thinking, well, where do I fit in the third wave? Or what does that third wave mean to me? But I just want to break it down real simple, because the third wave is simply this. The third wave is what God is doing now. Is what God is doing now. That's what the third wave is. Just like there was the pioneer generation with Pastor Sonny Sr. when they first started Victory Outreach and the first pastors were sent out and they pioneered and they began to go to different cities and plant churches and they began to do it around the country and eventually in different parts of the world. And then it goes on to the Joshua generation where you have, you know, those that came after the pioneer generation, and there was another move of God that was taking place then, but now those ones are there and they've been building the churches, the Joshua generation are building the churches, but how many know that there is another generation, right? Now we're in another season, right? And that is a third wave. It's what God is doing now. And this is the scripture that God gave also our founders in our ministry, and it's indicative of the third wave, and it's in Isaiah 59:21, and it says this, the Lord says this, as for me, says the Lord, and it's talking to Victor Outreach, it says, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. It's saying not only your mouth, but your descendants and your descendants' descendants from now on and forevermore. In other words, this ministry is not going to die. This ministry is not going to crumble. Come on, somebody. It is going to keep on until Jesus comes back to bring in and to usher a harvest of souls for when Jesus comes back. Amen? This is the significance of who we are in Victor Outreach International. Amen? And third wave is simply the season that you and I are at right now. Isaiah 43 says this. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Somebody say, it's my now year. It says it like this in another version. It says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Somebody say third wave. See, third wave is what God is doing now in our movement and in our ministry. Amen? This revival that God is bringing in these last days within Victor Outreach International, that is third wave. This revival that God is bringing, that we're seeing, we're beginning to see the beginning stages of this revival that has already begun, and it is going to break open as we continue to go forward. So, also, with that means this, that the third wave is not an age bracket. So the third wave is not just young people. Somebody say amen. In other words, it's all of us. Because newsflash, it's going to take all of us. If you're around and you are of, you know, an older generation than a teenager or young adult, and if you're older than that, third wave is actually the opportunity for us to do more than we've ever done before and begin to invest in this new generation. Come on, somebody. And the third wave revival, if anything, has got to begin with us. In other words, it's all of us. Turn me down just a little bit more in the monitor, Ruben, please. In other words, it's all, third wave is not an age bracket, it's all of us. I am a third waver. Come on, somebody. Pastor Sonny Sr. said, I am a third waver. He says, I'm third wave. Come on, somebody. In other words, whoever is answering the call now to what God is calling you to do, you are a third waver. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. And then also, it also refers to the up-and-coming generation. Those new disciples that are emerging. Somebody say amen. Students and young adults that are catching it at this time. Somebody say third wave. They are a third wave generation. They are the generation, the new generation that is rising up during this third wave revival that is taking place. And the reason why we're putting attention on them is because they are our future, as we should always pay attention to our young generation. Somebody say amen. It's not specific just to them, but they're the future. They're here during this revival, and God is going to use them. Somebody say amen. And this morning, it's important for you and I, because God is calling us, as I was saying last week, and as I was saying before, that God is calling us to put our hands on them, to put our hands on this new generation, and to invest in them. Somebody say amen. To disciple them. In other words, to take our wisdom and our experience and combine it with their strength and with their energy. To take our wisdom and our experience. See, you this morning, if you're not a young adult, if you're older than a young adult and you're here in this place, then you have wisdom and you have experience. It's not about, let's see what's better, my wisdom and experience against their energy. No, that doesn't make sense. What makes sense is to combine the two, and we put together our wisdom and our experience with their energy and with their strength, and combined, we're able to do greater things for God. Somebody say amen. Turn me down just a little bit more. I don't know if it's my ears or what, but just turn me down a little bit more, please. So this is the importance. It is the challenge for us to put our hands on these young people. We want to see young people coming into our church. We want to see young people getting saved, getting delivered. We want to see young people rising up, taking their place, answering the call of God. We want to see people in their 20s eventually being sent out from this place, whether it's to pastor or to be part of a team or to go to a different country or to help in some way. We want to see young people not forgotten, not left on the sideline, but rise up and take their place, answer the calling of God, shake it up in their high schools, shake it up in their family, and shake it up in these last days. These are the marching orders that we have been hearing God speak to us. These are the marching orders that we have been hearing our founder that's been leading us in the next 5 years. He's saying these next 5 years, he wants to see fruit. This is what our founder said. He believes that in the next 5 years, that we're going to see the biggest breakthrough in the history of our ministry. Come on, somebody. I'm going to know what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not going to be too long, but I want you to just, for the next few moments we have together, I want you to go ahead and preach back at me. Come on, somebody, if you know what I'm talking about. See, he's saying that, and Pastor Sonny doesn't just say things. He speaks by faith. He speaks prophetically. But he's not just going to say something unless he really, really knows and he feels it's God. And he says he believes that in these next 5 years, and he's challenging all of the pastors and all of the churches, and he's saying he believes that we're going to see the biggest breakthrough in the history of our ministry. And that's going to take you and I to be very intentional, to really look at these next 5 years. And that's why God is telling us that it's our now year, because it begins right now. And it begins with right now being very intentional in pouring ourselves out, but not only discipling, but building and being intentional and doing what God wants us to do, to see that these next 5 years, we see fruit, we see results, we see a mighty move of God, that we prepare ourselves, come on somebody, that we lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes, and that we prepare ourselves for the mighty move of God that God is going to bring within our church and within our ministry. In other words, God is saying to get ready. Get ready. Prepare yourself. Till the ground. Work with people. Begin to make adjustments and begin to do what you got to do, because I'm going to move. I'm going to pour out my anointing. I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to do something great, and you got to be ready to receive it. And it's a big statement for him to say that. And I know that that's what we've been hearing God say here. God has been speaking to us, and I've been sensing God, whether I've been sensing the anointing and the unction, and God has put things in my heart to say, or whether somebody else has come behind this pulpit and said it. I've been hearing God say about what he's getting ready to do, and it's something different. It's something new. He said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not see it? He says it's springing forth already. See, God is doing a new thing. And I've been saying that God is saying that we're going to see what we have never seen in our lifetime take place within our church and within our ministry. Come on, somebody. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? And that means we got to get busy. You know what that means? It simply means this. For me and you, it can no longer be business as usual. Because business as usual is not going to stretch the tents curtains wide. Business as usual is not going to strengthen the stakes. Business as usual is not going to lengthen the cords. Business as usual is not going to cut it. It is going to take innovative, hungry, hardworking people that are willing to step out by faith and dig deeper with God and dare to believe that God is going to use their life to do something great for his kingdom. That's what it's going to take. These are marching orders. The strength of the young generation united with the wisdom and experience of the old generation. Come on, somebody. And you know what it requires? It requires unity. Somebody say unity. We need each other. I said we need each other. I want you to tell the neighbor next to you and tell him we need each other. Listen, we need each other this morning. We need each other, I'll say like this, like never before we need each other. I need you and you need me and we need each other like we've never needed each other before if we're going to see God do what he wants to do within our ministry. You know why? Because that's where God commands a blessing. The Bible says in Psalm 133 how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is where the Lord commands the blessing. It is like the oil that runs down over the beard of Aaron, over his garments, down to his feet. It says right there in that place where there is unity, when they're in one mind and one accord on the same page with the same cause, with the same mission, building it for the same God, that is the place where I command the blessing and nobody can reverse it. You want to see God do amazing things? You want to see God do what we've never seen God do before? It's going to take us being intentional, putting all of the childish things aside, getting busy for God. We're too busy to argue about this. We're too busy to argue about that. We're too busy to be immature. We got work to do. We got 5 years to do it, and we got to be intentional is the key. Matter of fact, I want you to, if you don't write another note on, if you're not even taking notes or you're taking notes and you don't write any other note, I just want you to write one note on there, one word, and that word is intentional. 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 You got to do it intentionally. We know that God's going to do it. We know what God is speaking. We know that we're a launching pad. We know that we're a base. We know that God is going to send out churches. We know that God is going to send out team members to help other churches. We know that God is going to send people. We know that we're a base. We know that we're a model, but it's got to be done intentionally. In other words, not business as usual and think because another year passes by, it's going to come to pass. That's not going to work. It's going to take us every single day of this year being intentional, working with somebody, being accountable to somebody, holding yourself accountable, teaching somebody, showing somebody how to do what you know how to do, loving somebody, reaching out to somebody, evangelizing, come on somebody, praying and believing God, and going deeper with God in your relationship with God. That is what it's going to take this year to intentionally do it, to say, if I want to see God do what I've never seen him do before, I have to intentionally do these things every day, and God is going to be faithful to bring it to pass. I came to let you know this morning, Victor Outreach Pomona, that our best days are not behind us, but our best days are ahead of us. Pastor Sonny is believing for a third wave army raised up alongside all of us. He's a third waver. I'm a third waver. You're a third waver. The gang is a third waver. Are there any third wavers in this place that want to do what God has called them to do? I'll be honest with you this morning. I've never felt more in tune. I've never felt more in tune and locked in and getting our founder's heart. I've never felt so locked in or felt more in tune or seen so clearly what I see now, in tune with our founder's heart, our vision lined up with our international vision. I want you to understand this morning, Victor Outreach Pomona, that we are positioned by God to do something. I said we are positioned by God to do something. Victor Outreach Pomona, we are positioned by God. From where you are sitting in this building to where we are as a church and as a ministry to having the responsibility of being a regional church with a regional pastor and a regional pastor's wife, God always has a plan and God always has a purpose. It's not about titles. It's not about this, that, or the other. It is simply the fact that God has positioned us, that we are positioned by God, not just to be positioned, but we are positioned by God to do something. I said to do something, to do something, to do something for his glory, to do something for his honor, to do something like we've never done something before, to break limits, to change, to let God change me, to let God grow me. Come on, somebody, to get out of my comfort zone and to let God be God with inside of my life. I know I said it a lot of years, but this year it's time for me to do it. You ain't hearing me this morning. I know you said 5 years ago you were going to change, and it didn't change. That's all right. God is saying it's your now year, and if you step out now, you're going to see the change take place that you want to take place with inside of your life. But it can't be business as usual. Isaiah 54 says, enlarge the place of your tent, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. This has not yet come to fulfillment. Huh? This has not yet come to fulfillment. We're in the midst of it being fulfilled. This is, you know what's heavy? What Pastor Sonny has prayed. And you know what he prayed and he asked God, and it's so heavy. He said, Lord, keep me alive. And Lord, let me see with my own eyes to see this promise be fulfilled. Let me keep me alive to be able to see that promise that our descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited, to see this third wave revival unfold. He says, keep me alive to be able to see it with my own eyes. I thank God that God raised up a man named Pastor Sonny that has the heartbeat of God, that God is moving in and moving through. Come on, somebody. And it's going to happen if we're intentional. Somebody say intentional. It was a picture of a nation that was not going to survive. That's what Isaiah 54 was. They were not going to survive, but they were going to revive. Somebody say amen. Israel was going to have many, many descendants, as many as the sand on the seashore. Somebody say praise the Lord. They were barren. Anybody know what it's like to be barren, right? They had had some bad years. You ever had a bad year? Oh, none of you? I never have a bad year, right? Right? They had some bad years. But God was saying, I'm about to change your season. You don't hear me this morning. Come on, somebody. He's saying, I'm about to bring forth so many children into your tent, and you got to be ready for expansion. You got to be intentional. Somebody say intentional. You got to get your tent ready for it. You got to get ready for what God wants to bring. But it's going to come with some work. Somebody say amen. We have to make room for the revival. Somebody say amen. We got to lengthen our cords. We got to strengthen our stakes. We got to stretch out our curtains. Somebody say amen. I got a question for you this morning. Where are the expanders that are going to bring growth into their church in Victor Outreach Pomona? Where are the expanders that are going to build, that are going to believe, that are going to step out, that are going to work hard, that are going to make changes, that are going to make adjustments? Where are the expanders that are going to dare to believe God that these next 5 years we're going to see fruit like we've never seen before? When it comes to this generation, you and I have a responsibility. Somebody say amen. It's our responsibility. There's a saying that says, it takes a village to raise a child. You ever heard that saying? Y'all are harder to crack than a safe. You ever heard that saying, it takes a village to raise a child? Right? So that means that it takes all of us. It doesn't just take the gang leader. Whether it's Jeremiah, it doesn't just take Jeremiah, it doesn't just take Victoria, it doesn't just take Samuel, it doesn't just take Stephanie. Come on, somebody. It takes everybody. It takes all of us to raise those young people, to put our hands on them, to breathe on them, to dare to believe, to inspire them, to instill with inside of them, to let them know that we see the hand of God upon their life and that we know that God has something great for every single one of them. Not for us to look at them and say that they're immature. Come on, somebody. Not for us to look at them and to say that they're not ready. Not for, what do you think they're going to be? They're 14 years old, 15 years old. You think they're not going to have an attitude? Come on, someone. We have a little attitude and we don't want to work with them. Oh, well, no, let them be over there. They're not ready. No. God is saying it is your and my responsibility to help to raise these young people, to watch them get raised up by God in this place and do what God called them to do. It's our hands that have to be on them. Somebody tell your neighbor he's talking to you this morning. There's a great need. You know why there's a great need? Let me tell you why there's a great need. Because revival comes with resistance. Come on, somebody. That means it takes soldiers. It takes warriors. It takes determination. It takes people that are not going to give up and not going to quit. Come on, somebody. It takes people that are willing to give of their time and give of their effort and put their comforts aside to instill in somebody else, because revival comes with resistance. This is why our hands have to be on them. Somebody say amen. So I want you to understand that, because we need to know some things. As a church, we need to know, we have to understand some things. We need to be aware. If you're going to work, in other words, if you're going to work with the young generation, I'm talking about, we have to work with each other. We have to work with each other, no matter what age. You know, adults, we have to invest and disciple adults, right? But adults, you can relate a little bit more with adults. You can relate a little bit more with somebody that's close to your age bracket or is past a certain age. But if we're going to be effective in being able to work with students and with young adults, you have to be able to understand them a little bit better. You have to be able to understand what they're going through. I have to be able to understand what my young brother, my young sister are going through so that I can help them better. Come on, somebody, why they're acting the way they're acting. Why? What kind of a world they live in? We need to understand that better. So I believe that we need to know some things in our church. Amen. We need to understand some things so that we know when we're working with them how it is that God wants us to be effective. You got to think about it. They get 40 hours a week of indoctrination from mostly liberal teachers. Come on, somebody. Right? Like anything goes, right? What you feel, right? There's no gray, there's no absolutes. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, all those things, right? You know, a lot of our young people are being taught that to believe that gender is what you pick or what you feel, not what God gave you. You got to understand, in our, a lot of our students and our young adults, there's a 40% increase in depression. Now, you got to understand, 90% of their decisions are made based on social media. You understand, during this time in their life, 7 out of 10 of them walk away from church during this age. And 5 return, but 2 don't. Come on, somebody. There's double the amount of those in those age brackets now that claim to be atheists. And we have to understand these things. If we're going to put our hands on them and believe God for them, we have to understand this world that they live in. Somebody say amen. Let me give you 5 reasons why they stop attending church. Is because, number one, they think, they feel like it's irrelevant. They feel like church is irrelevant in our tactics, and they feel disconnected. Come on, somebody. And you could sit here and you could say, well, hey, you know, we're not going to change. They need to learn. No, we need to also learn from them. We need to learn. If we want to reach them, we need to learn from them. The Bible's not going to change. Our values and principles are not going to change. It's not going to make me say that sin is not sin. But it's going to make me understand, because there's a way to be relevant with them. There's a way to make them understand and make them feel connected. If I'm able to show them that I understand where they're coming from, then they're able to feel connected and they don't feel irrelevant. The second reason is this. They are not finding connection or community in the church. And if they don't find it in the church, guess what? They'll find it somewhere else. Is this thing on? If they don't find connection and if they don't find community or belonging in the church, then they're going to find it somewhere else. The third thing is this, is they don't feel respected. They don't feel respected. You know what? No, it's true, though. Instead, they feel like they could just get made fun of. You ain't hearing me this morning. Like, all we do is call them entitled. They're an entitled generation. Come on, somebody. Do you know how they feel? They don't feel respected. They feel like they don't get a chance. Oh, just be quiet. Now, you don't know anything. Just listen. Fourth thing is this. They don't feel accepted. They feel like they can't belong before they believe. They feel like they can't belong until they're dotting all their I's and crossing all their T's. Then there's Pharisees in church judging them. Oh, come on! I ain't trying to stir some up here. Come on, buddy. There's Pharisees, right? Not in this church and other church, right? Yeah. You know, but sometimes people can have a Pharisee spirit, right? Be judgmental. But in Victory Outreach, I said in Victory Outreach, they have to be able to say, I found something different in Victory Outreach. I found something that I couldn't find anywhere else, and I belong there, and God is using me there, and God is speaking to me there, and God is raising me up there, and I feel like God is doing something great with inside of my life there. And in Victory Outreach, I have a place, I have a calling, I have a destiny, and I have a future. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap if you know that that is what God has called us to be. We got to get a little bit more in touch, man. We got to be a little bit more intentional. We got to be a little bit more like not just this is the way and that is the way. No, we got to have a learning posture. We got to learn how to work with our young people. We got to learn how to challenge them. We got to learn to speak into their life. We got to learn to help them see what we see that God has for their life. We got to show them. We got to give them a place. We got to give them an opportunity. We got to get them up on this stage. We got to get them to preach. We got to get them in your ministry to be a part so that when their young students come from their high school, they see young people that are on fire doing things for God, being the people of God that God called them to be. We want young people to come to this place and to already see young people that are on fire being used by God. We want them to be able to come into this place and they see adults and men and women of God that are taking time to work with young people and give young people an opportunity and give young people a voice. Somebody say amen. Because the fifth thing is this, is reasons why they stop attending church is they don't feel discipled. And they want to be discipled. I said they want to be discipled. They want to be discipled. But we got to be intentional in discipling them. We got to put our hands on them and believe God. Just like somebody believed God for you. Come on, somebody. Just like somebody believed God for you. That you're going to believe God for them. And God is going to use them and raise them up. I don't know about you, man, but I don't want to be just a church that we all just get old and then we're all just a bunch of old people. No, nothing wrong if you're old, okay? I got a lot of gray hair. I don't dye my hair for a reason because I'm proud of my gray hair. If you're old, if you're older than me, you know, take no offense. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying I don't want to get old with all of the ones that are, and then we're all just old, and then like, you ever been to a church? Look. You know why? Let me tell you something. You know why our older women and men of God love it in this place? Because they love that there's young people. They love that there's people on fire. They love watching the young people tear it up for God. But there's some churches, see, this is what you don't understand. There's some churches where everybody sitting in there is all gray-haired 70-year-old people. No, really. No, it's true. You're like, you know, and that's what we will become. That's what I'm saying. That's what we will become if we don't put our hands on young people. We'll all be gray-haired 70-year-old people sitting in this church asking, you got some Tums? Heartburn? I got some heartburn. Oh, buddy. Y'all are cold, man. You haters gonna hate. Come on, buddy. They don't feel discipled. They want to be discipled. Somebody say a third wave window. I want to give you this scripture here. It's powerful. In Isaiah 66, verse 9. Listen to what it says. It says, I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born. Woo! Come on, somebody. How was your last year? Come on, somebody. How was your last 2 years? How was your last three? Did you go through some pain? Did you experience some things that you weren't too excited about? Did you wonder throughout the last few years of your life, why am I going through what I'm going through? I want you to know this morning that the Lord says, I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born out of the pain that you go through. He says, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? He says, no, I who cause the pain am not going to close up the womb, but I am going to open up the wound and I am going to birth some new things in that place, because everything that you go through is not in vain when you're serving God and you're doing it for His kingdom. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap in this place. Shall I come and bring it to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? He says, no, there's going to be a birthing. Everything that you went through it for a reason. God doesn't leave you hanging. God doesn't not show up. God always shows up, and He shows up big time. Somebody say amen. A window of opportunity is this. It's a favorable opportunity for doing something that must be done immediately if it is not to be missed. Tell your neighbor, it's my now year. See, now is the time. The time has come. Victor Outreach Pomona. Now means this. It means without delay. It means right away. It means immediately. Somebody say now. When you think about Jesus, Jesus responded to the urgency. Are there any disciples in this place? Jesus responded to the urgency. Jesus didn't wait. There's an urgency when you hear that word now. The time has come. It's my now year. It was a window of opportunity. It's an open door. It's a favorable opportunity for God to do something. Listen to me this morning. If Jesus had not responded and if He had waited, He would have missed the opportunity of reaching the disciples that were later going to turn the world upside down. Jesus, when you read in the Gospels, He was walking there beside the Sea of Galilee, and the Bible says that He saw Simon Peter and Andrew, and He told them, come and follow Me, and He told them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And the Bible says this, that at once they left their nets and they followed Him. In other words, immediately when they heard the call, when they heard the Gospel, they followed Jesus without delay, right away, immediately. Somebody say amen. We as Christians, we need to understand that the time and season that the kingdom of God is in, that we're in the now time. Somebody say now time. Doors are open wide for us. There are people who are counting on us right now. Not tomorrow, not next year, not in 10 years. They're counting on us right now to step out right now. To reach out right now, not next year, not once I get it all together, man. To step out right now, to dare to believe God right now, to take our place right now, to answer the call right now, to build God's kingdom right now. To be intentional and to do what God has called us to do and a sense of conviction. Every single person that breathes the name of God and that is serving God, we should sense a conviction of the urgency of the time that we live in. We should sense a conviction of sitting there and not doing anything about what God has called us to do. We should be convicted to our hearts. If we think we could sit there and be business as usual and wait another year and be just about my own business and not be about my Father's business, we should be convicted to our hearts. We should have a sense of urgency. We should feel a burden, and we should carry the weight that our founders carry to help raise up a generation to see God do what He called us to do. We should sense a burden, man. God didn't just save you just to save you and to give you fire insurance so that you don't go to hell. You already, your name's written in the book of life. Thank God you're not going to hell. But that's not where it stops, my friend, because there are other people that are going to hell. Young people are killing themselves. There's people that are committing suicide every single day. God has saved us. God has rescued us, not just to sit on our blessed assurance and not do anything about it, but to rise up and answer the call. You got a busy schedule? Join the club. We all got a busy schedule. You got to rise up. You got to do what God called you to do. You got to a sense of conviction and the urgency within inside of your life to do it now. Come on, I want you to stand with me this morning. Somebody say, it's my now here. You got to sense the conviction. You got to sense the urgency. And you got to sense it now. You can't feel okay anymore with not doing anything for God. You can't feel okay anymore with having that type of language. Well, I do enough. I'm okay. I don't do this anymore, and I don't do that anymore. I'm okay. I'm not like them. You ever read that parable in the Word of God where Jesus talks about that man? And there's that one man, and he's standing there. There's two men. And there's one man that's standing there, and he's saying, standing there before the Lord, and his hands are up, and he's saying, I thank God I'm not like that man. I thank God that I do good. I thank God that I pay tithes. I thank God that I do this and I do that. I thank God that I'm not like that anymore. And he's like a picture of someone that just thinks that they're okay. And then there's a picture of another guy standing next to him, and the Bible says he can't even look up at heaven. He can't even look up, and he says, man, I'm unworthy. He says, it's a picture of someone who didn't forget where they came from. And he's sitting there and he's saying, man, I who am I? I'm nobody. You know, I don't deserve the mercy that God has given me. I don't deserve the grace that God has shown me. Anything that I do good, it's only because of the grace of God, because I'm not good. If it wasn't for God, I'd be miserable. I know what my good was. I was good for nothing. Without Jesus in my life, I was miserable. All I did was cause problems. My good is not of my own. Anything good that is from me is only because God has been merciful to me. I don't forget where I came from. And then the Bible says, which one of those two was justified? It says the one who couldn't look up, who beat himself on the chest and said, I'm messed up. I'm not all right. I'm not all together. The one that said, I'm okay. I don't do that anymore. He was not justified. Matter of fact, I think he was thrown in the outer. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says there's going to be many that come that day that are going to say, didn't we cast out devils in your name and do great works in your name and do these miracles in your name? And the Bible says that Jesus, God is going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That's heavy. That's if that doesn't put a godly fear in you, that puts a godly fear in me, man. I want to make sure I know that I'm not forgetting why God saved me and why God rescued me. These people, they did great things for God. They probably healed blind eyes. They probably built big things for the Lord. They probably did a lot of great. They were probably faithful every day of their life, and they never probably failed, missed church and all these things. But then yet the Lord says, I never knew you. And yet there's other ones that feel broken, that feel an urgency, that aren't satisfied, that feel a conviction when they feel like they're going to settle or like they've done enough and that's it, my time is done. No. They feel a conviction and they feel an urgency that says, man, how dare I say I'm done? How dare I say I've done enough? What have I done in life compared to what God has done for me? I've done nothing. I owe God my entire life. I owe him my eternity. Where would I be if it wasn't for the grace of God? How could I stand here and say I'm okay, I'm all right, I've done enough? What is wrong with me if I say that? I am not okay. I have not done enough. In 100,000,000,000 lifetimes, I will never do enough to repay God for what he's done for me. I could lay my life down, give my life, be killed for the gospel, and still not do enough for what God has done for me. It's our now year. There's no time to sit here and justify to ourselves and make ourselves feel good about what we've done. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because there's too many souls that are dying. You think that they need people to be in church, sitting there, making themselves feel okay about what they've done? You think that that's helping those people that are out there lost, going to hell? That we would be in here thinking, I'm okay now, I don't do drugs, I have a wife, I have a child, I have a job, I'm okay, I'm good. Do you think that that helps them? Do you think that that's why God saved you, to be in a church and say that you're okay? I don't know about you this morning. I only tell you how I feel. If that's how you feel or not, that's not for me to judge. I'm going to stand by myself before the Lord. And all I know is what I feel. And I feel, like I said, in a million lifetimes, I don't care how much I do for God, I've never done enough. Matter of fact, I'll be indebted to Him a million more lifetimes because of what He's done for me, because I didn't deserve it. None of us deserved it. And that I'll tell all of us in this place. I got news for all of us. None of us deserve the grace of God. None of us deserved for Him to die on that cross. He had nothing to do with our sin. But yet He died for us. One of the marks of somebody that understands that is gratitude. But not just gratitude with words. Because the Bible says, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's not words. It's not gratitude. I'm thank you, Lord. That's what that guy did. Thank you, God, that I'm not like that. It's not that. It's gratitude that translates in action. Translates in what do we do for the Lord. This morning, listen, I'm not here to try to make anybody feel bad. I'm not. This is not feeling bad. I got news for you. This is not feeling bad. This is not being put down or nothing like that. No, you know what? This is healthy. We need to feel like this. If you haven't felt like this in a long time, you should feel like this more often. I feel like this constantly before the Lord. I feel like, man, who am I? When I go through things or people talk about me or say things about me, and It's like I said about Kobe, it's just fuel to my fire, because I don't care, because it doesn't matter. I know I owe God my whole life. So this morning, listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at with God. I know you're here today, and I know you want God. I know you want what God has for you. I'm just trying to give you what God gave me. And that is that there's an urgency in my life to not ever become complacent. Do I become complacent? Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I become complacent sometimes. And I get in routine sometimes. But you know what? God convicts me. He convicts me. And I feel convicted. And I say, how dare I? And I get up and I try harder. And I try harder. And I try harder. I don't sit there and try to justify it. And, oh, but Robert, look at all those years you directed the home. And look at all those years you did all this without pay. And I don't do all that stuff. Forget all that, man. That's nothing. I didn't do nothing for God. That's stupid. For me to sit there and say something like that, that's stupid. Oh, justify and make myself feel good. I paid a price. I'll tell you something. I haven't paid nothing. God paid the price for me. Jesus paid the price for me. He spared me. He saved me. He rescued me. I'm nobody before the Lord. I'm a wretch. I'm a wretch. I'm a wretch. I am what I am by the grace of God and nothing else. And all I want, and I believe, because God has been showing me, I've been asking God, show me, and God has been showing me people that are hungry for God, that are going to go deeper with God, that are spiritual, that are broken, that are humble. God has been showing me that. He's been showing me you guys, and you're there, and you're in your word, and you're there in prayer, and you're there, and the spiritual is more important to you than the earthly. And He's showing me the people that God is making and molding and shaping in this place, and it's people that are more concerned about the spiritual than they are of the earthly things. And it's not easy, because it's a mentality, but you know what? I'm not going to break it to you with words, but when we pray and we get a hold of God, the Holy Spirit is going to break it with His power. I said with His power. When He penetrates your life, when you get a hold of God and He penetrates your heart, you get up from that place and you realize that God is not done with you, and there's more things that God has for you to do. this morning all over this place. I'm going to open up these altars, and I want you to come for a few moments. Whoever you are, I want you to come if God spoke to you, and I want you to talk to God. Get a hold of God.